Production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
Who's in charge of the Memphis Aquifer tonight on Behind the Headlines? I'm Eric Barnes with the Daily Memphian. Thanks for joining us. I'm joined tonight by Ward Archer, founder of Protect Our Aquifer. Thanks for being here. Brian Waldron is a professor at the University of Memphis who in charge of CSER, which we'll talk more about, but which studies the aquifer and effects and so on to it. Scott Banbury is with the Tennessee chapter of the Sierra Club. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Bill Dries is a reporter with the Daily Memphian. So we will start with that very question I asked at the top, and I'll start with Brian. You're the scientist and the researcher here. You've been on the show before, and I appreciate you coming back. Sure. CSER, which we'll spell out that acronym in a second, but you'll study the aquifer, what it is. Let's talk about who is in charge of it. And the scale of the aquifer is something that I think people don't always understand. And we'll put a map up in a minute that kind of shows the topography and shows how deep it is and it crosses borders. People sometimes, I think, naively think it's a big well right beneath downtown right. or right beneath, you know, Midtown or something like that. So what is the aquifer and who is in charge of it?
The aquifer underlies portions of 8 states. So it is a very large regional aquifer system. And it's not an underground lake, it's not an underground river, it's comprised of sand like you would see at the Gulf of Mexico, and the water fills the voids in between the sand space. So that's the construct of it. As to who owns it, it's a very good question. Because it underlies 8 states, portions of 8 states, it's used by each one of different either municipalities or agriculture or industry in each of those states. So that is kind of the question at hand, is how do we look at this aquifer as a shared multi-state interstate resource.
And Ward, you founded Protect Our Aquifer in the last couple of years when the coal ash ponds at the Allen power plant, so the TVA was going to mothball, or did ultimately mothball, the coal-fired power plant, moving to a gas-fired power plant that is now part of what powers Memphis via TVA. Protect Our Aquifer was founded why?
We were founded in 2016 essentially to help improve the standing of the Sierra Club in the contest with TVA, which was going to wind up in federal court, which it did. This Sierra Club is a national organization, and we formed up a local group of 10 people who were comfortable being on a lawsuit, and we raised a little money, and we helped out. Ultimately, the case was dismissed from court, but we got lucky with science. TVA had to admit that the contamination under the coal ash pond was far worse than they thought and could be moving, and it ultimately led to TDAC asking TVA to do a pump test, which Dr. Waldron was involved in, which proved there was connectivity between the upper and the lower aquifer, which meant if they ran the pumps, they were going to contaminate the aquifer.
And we'll bring up a photo that shows part of the coal ash ponds, and it shows the new plant on the left and the old plant on the right. And that is just one or two of the coal ash ponds. Is that correct? That's not the whole
right.
of what
the,
was
what
being
we're
discussed.
Looking at there in the foreground is the east coal ash pond, which is the one that was most recently active. There's a west pond on the other side, which you don't see, which is not in service, but is also included in the proposed cleanup.
Coal ash, and I'll get you in here, Scott. Coal ash is what? It's the tailings, or it's a byproduct of burning the coal and
the combustion residual. So after you burn the coal, you've got ash left over. And in more recent years, when we've been cleaning up the pollution that used to go through the smokestacks, it is increasingly toxic because the things that we want to keep out of the air are now scrubbed out of the stacks and are part of that ash. And so it's got lots of arsenic in it. It's got mercury in it, lead and arsenic and fluoride are the things that have been detected leaking constituents of major concern leaking out of those ponds now. You mentioned the West Pond is on the other side of the coal plant that we just saw in the picture. It was closed and covered with dirt, you know, some years ago. And I think TVA just planned on always just leaving it there. They're now actually looking at removing it as well. There's an environmental impact statement being produced right now to support TVA's decision to remove all of the ash, reinter it elsewhere. We don't know where that'll be yet. It'll likely be the South Shelby landfill. Issues there because we're going to have a lot of trucks rolling through town carrying this ash, and in some communities that's caused health problems or concerns for folks from the fugitive dust problems. The other thing that we're looking at right now is in preparation for moving that ash, they're going to be dewatering the pond.
What is dewatering? That
means dewatering. So they've got to take all the water out of that ash, there's surface water, but then there's also like the space in between the sands that Dr. Waldron was just talking about, there's pore water. So there's water in between the particles of ash. They need to get all that water out. They're intending to do that under an expired permit that belonged to the coal plant. And there has been no public notice on that. And we're looking at what the effects of that dewatering is. Their plan seems to indicate that they'll be pumping 10 million gallons a day into a small channel that leads to the Mississippi River. And anticipating that 10 million gallons each day is going to contain as much as 1,000 pounds of arsenic. There's, unfortunately, folks subsistence fishing out of that body of water, and we're very concerned about temporary health impacts that might come with that.
Let me get Bill involved.
Brian, in 2018, the Memphis City Council passed an increase in Memphis Light, Gas, and Water's water rate that specifically goes to better map the aquifer and specifically where the breaches are in it. And it's taken a little while to coordinate this study, but CSER is now moving ahead with trying to map where things are in relation to our water supply, correct?
Yes, so we have started that process of mapping these naturally occurring breaches in the protective clay layer over our aquifer that allows us transfer of water poor quality through. We have, we're being a university, we're all about students. So we have 5 students working on that now. We had a late start due to some contractual issues, but in fall of 2019, which is coming up, we're bringing on about 13 more projects looking specifically in Shelby County at what's going on with the aquifer system.
And while there's a lot of knowledge around this table, it seems to me that there is much more that we don't know about the aquifer that we need to know in order to make decisions about what happens above ground.
Right. I mean, from what we've recognized, 15 possible breaches. Maybe 5 of them are known where we've actually drilled a well through, but the other 10 are suspected, and we think there are more out there. So there are a lot of unknowns, and we don't, even with the breaches that we do know about, we don't know how quickly the water is getting in. We don't know the dynamics of that. So we're trying to learn that. And you're right, there is a lot of knowledge about that at the university and at this table, but we're trying to feed that information out to the public. And we do that through public forums. We have another one coming up June 11th at the Hollywood Community Center.
And do you have graduate students who are coming from elsewhere, not just the University of Memphis, to work on this?
They're coming from all around the world. We are getting the top students from around the world to come here and work on this study. Like I said, come fall of 2019, we'll have over 18 students. Fall of 2020, we'll bring in 10 more to hit this. So we're putting a lot of emphasis on this system.
Mm-hmm. Warden Scott, what does this information mean in terms of talking about proposals to put a dump somewhere, proposals to build and drill wells into the ground? What do groups like yours do with that information that comes out of this?
Well, to your point, it's raised a lot of questions. I believe we're the largest city in the country to get all of its water from the ground. And when you get water from the ground, you've got to take care of what's above it. And we haven't been doing a very good job of that. So anytime you see something like a new proposal for a gravel mine or a putting a landfill in the floodplain of the Wolf River where toxic things can be introduced into the water system, I think we need to be real careful about that and step back. And the way it is now, there's no one to stop that from happening.
Let's bring up a photo of an existing gravel mine in North Shelby County, just to give some people a sense of this is an active or a no longer active.
This is a active gravel mine operated by Memphis Stone and Gravel, and it is, you can see how large it is, and it's they mine down to 50 feet and take all the stuff out and pretty much leave it like that. They're supposed to fill it back in with water, you know, within 10 years, I believe. But in that area, there's a well data from nearby Millington that shows that the Memphis, the clay layer, the confining layer of clay, begins at 40 feet. So they could be digging up part of that protective clay layer. And if you look at that picture in the bottom right corner, we suspect that that may be clay right there. So what you're doing is you're ripping off the earth, you're letting other, you know, farm chemical runoff get in there, machinery runoff, whatever. It's just not a good idea to let these things just sit there exposed.
Scott, does this, you wade pretty deep into, no pun intended there, you wade pretty deep into the regulatory details of this. Does a better knowledge of how this works and what's below?
Absolutely, because anytime, you know, first our city council is looking at land use decisions relative to landfills or gravel mining. When we have information that we can bring to them that cautions their decisions, of course, it's a good thing. It's also led a lot to a much higher standard of scrutiny from the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. So they're now recognizing that when they look at permits in Shelby County, were in surrounding counties, that it's not the same as other places in the state. They would have other groundwater issues, they would have issues about karst and whatnot, but here in Memphis they know definitely that they need to start really considering the geology of where these land uses are occurring. And so I think TVA did us a big favor by, you know, raising this issue to the level it has, and a good thing.
It was raised, and I think it's the time you were on the show, if I'm not mistaken, because and it was a surprise to a lot of people that basically you could kind of sort of just go drill a well without anyone's permission. I mean, back to that whole question of who's in charge.
And that's right.
And whether you had industry or you were a coal plant or you wanted some water for your house, I mean, you really kind of sort of just, there's a group that oversees that, but there wasn't a heck of a lot of digging into the questions about whether those should be happen, whether those the drilling should be happening.
And now we've changed our regulations that if you're going to dig a major well, right, it's automatically appealed before the board and has to be scrutinized and receive input from CSER and others before they can issue.
How though do you, so let's take the other side of this. So there's somebody out there or some people out there listening to this saying, that's all well and good and I want my drinking water to be healthy and so on, but it takes water for industry, it takes water for jobs, it takes water for, you know, some amount of economic activity. So how do you balance that? How do you say, well, I mean, do you just shut down all these kind of potentially risky uses of water in any kind of industry or business?
Well, I think that the solution is making sure that we're getting the water from a safe location. And so to look at where the water is coming at, even currently for the natural gas plant, they're buying it from MLGW, but it's largely being sourced from the Davis well field, which is one of the well fields that Brian Catellus has got very young water in it. Maybe it's better to get that water from a safer location, or we're still advancing the idea of building a tertiary treatment plant on Frank Pigeon Park that would, you know, we're discharging a lot of water into the river out of our treatment plant each day, clean that water up and make that water available, right, for the industries that could use it.
Is that part of your mission with CSER? And I should spell it out, Center for Applied Earth Science and Engineering Research. I had to read that.
Right, that's a good
Is it part of your research to take into account the business needs and the kind of economic needs of this water and you know, areas where wells can be drilled and can't be, or is it yours to kind of shut down the aquifer for all but the most very essential purposes?
It's kind of neither. We're
no,
not,
that's fair, because I think people listen and say, well, wait, they just want to get rid of,
you know. No, we're not there to shut anything down, and we're not there to make an opinion as a university to say you should do this or you should do that, but not this. So our purpose is to create the information, the data, to give to the advocacy groups, to give to the elected officials, to give to the public, to give to the businesses, so that smarter decisions can be made with that information. That, you know, if a company wants to come in and say, we want to put in a well, we can get to the point where we can look to see where they want to put that well in, to know what impact it's going to have on the aquifer, what impact it may have on drawing in contaminants from another location due to a breach in the clay. It's that kind of knowledge that we're trying to create.
Back to the needs, and a kind of an economic need, Ward, is landfills. I mean, cities, people, businesses, everything, they produce waste and they go into the dump or they go into a landfill. There was a landfill, and we have some video of an area that was proposed in Nutbush in North Memphis for a landfill that I think you all were very concerned about. You can see it's a wetland area as the video rolls. And so that is connected to the aquifer and what we're talking about. But if not there, where? I mean, there is this need, right, for landfills.
Well, I was told by the former head of NSAFE, I asked him, I said, where's a good place for a construction landfill? And he said, high and dry.
Yeah.
So I took that to heart, and I think we need to determine a place that is high and dry to have a construction landfill.
In this area, that just to go through the video, this is low and wet, right?
Yes,
and in addition,
it provides flood relief for the Wolf River. And, you know, water is going up and not down these days. And I think we need every bit of that we can get. On another thing, what we would like to see happen in terms of who's in charge of the aquifer, Shelby County is 750 some odd square miles, pretty big area. And we would like to see something akin to a Shelby County Groundwater Authority established that would have the authority to make the decisions that, no, you can't do this, you can't put the landfill here. And we just don't have that in place now, and we need to.
Would that take an act, I'll go to Bill in a second, an act of the legislature or the county commission or the city? I mean, how would that even be established?
I think we would have to begin, we have begun talking to the county. We've had good discussions with the Shelby County Health Department. They are in charge of doing well permitting now. So this would broaden their scope if it was going to be with the health department. But we would have to get not only Shelby County, we have to get Memphis, we'd have to get all the municipalities to agree. So it's a big job. But we're talking about drinking water, and I think that the will of the people is we need to take better care of it, and there's just no singular entity involved in that now.
I think you would need to add Fayette County to that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but wouldn't you then have to add Mississippi? I mean, because again, we're talking about seven states.
The U.S. Supreme Court case. Eventually, whenever that is solved, I think the outcome is going to be a compact, a multi-state compact. So that will be the outcome. But locally, Fayette County is our recharge zone to the. That's where rain replenishes our groundwater. So they need to be a party to what is going on the land. Like Ward said, you know, our water's on the ground, but there's this overburden above it, and we need to be protective of the land above it. So
and the other point that comes up there is that we could do all we wanted to do here in Shelby County, but industries are going to want to come here. Our water is great. It saves them a lot of money to use our water because they don't have to treat it any further. I was just at St. Jude's doing an installation of art, and had to go up to the roof to hang our scaffolds and went through their filtering room. I was wearing a Protect Our Aquifer shirt, and the guys working in that room were like, thank you for protecting the aquifer.
Right.
Aquifer saves us money. But these industries will go to a neighboring county, down to Mississippi.
Well, there's a bottling plant in Mississippi that was pulling water out because they, you know, 500,000 bottles a year or something like that, because it's the same water. I mean, it doesn't stop at the county border. Bill, let's get Bill in.
We should also note that the federal court case that Brian's talking about is a pretty long-running set of litigation between Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, and the state of Mississippi over who has the rights to access that water. Let's go back to some of the science on this, because maybe there's the assumption that, okay, the clay layer's there, there may be a few breaches, but this has nothing to do with the rivers, the tributaries, and the Mississippi. There is a relationship.
There is a relationship. Yeah, even though there's that clay layer that sits there that protects our primary drinking water, the Memphis Aquifer, up above that is the shallow system, and that is what is more in direct contact with the rivers. And those surface water bodies will give water to the shallow system, and then the shallow system will give water to the Memphis Aquifer through those breaches. So there is that connection that we need to be aware of. And part of our investigations that we're doing on this big study that you mentioned is looking at that interaction. We're actually teaming up with the Wolf River Conservancy to have the public go out and help us look at groundwater surface water interactions on the Wolf River. So it's an engagement between the university research and the public citizens, because we're all invested in the same system, mm-hmm. to go out and help do this research.
And you're looking for volunteers, and these are not very technical devices. These are kind of buckets
that have
been adapted that need to be placed in a lot of locations.
Right, right. We just, we're going between Carver, Arlington on the Wolf River and Highway 51. It's going to take us a week to deploy these instruments, and it's just a bucket. But getting that many people out on the river to do it that quickly, every 300 feet, that's a major undertaking. So we need the people's help.
Mm-hmm. Is there the consideration once a lot of this data is in that a decision needs to be made about whether or not we go deeper than we go now for our water?
Yes, there's another project that, as part of that big study, a student is working on determining thousands of possible scenarios, from moving wells away from breaches to going deeper into the Memphis Aquifer itself, to going to lower aquifers, to putting in different well fields, all the possible scenarios, even pumping on and off season, to see what would be best to protect the aquifer, keep it from being damaged, and increase the longevity of the MLGW well fields. So that is a major undertaking, running thousands upon thousands of scenarios.
You're going to add something.
Well, two things. One, this is not commonly known, I don't think, but back to what you were saying about surface water interacting with the lower aquifer and then the one below that where we got our drinking water. There's a fish advisory on every single moving body of water in Shelby County.
That would be in the Mississippi, or that would be in the Wolf River, or that would be
all of them. You can't eat a fish, or you should not eat a fish
right.
caught in any of these moving bodies of water.
Because
they're contaminated. There's chlordane, there's mercury in some places, pesticides, PCBs. It's different depending on which, if you're in Nankana Creek or the Wolf River, but there's one on every single, the Cypress Creek. And that's to me personally, I find that very disturbing to think that every body of water is contaminated.
And do you think there's a kind of complacency people have? Maybe this is a question for both of y'all, that people are like, well, yeah, duh. Yeah, you shouldn't eat that. I mean, yeah, it's right next to the highway. And people just sort of become numb to some of these things,
or
immune to the notion that's shocking.
I think there was a period of time in the 40s, 50s, and 60s when we did a lot of bad things. I remember I drove a dump truck once, and I drove one to the Walnut Grove landfill. Little did I know, 30, 40 years later, I'd be talking about it. That's the landfill
so
that's caused the most problems. But the other thing is, this all is happening with a national and global backdrop of a shortage of fresh water. There's now a Great Lakes Compact. If your county doesn't touch one of the Great Lakes, you can't take water out of it now.
Yeah. Because of the problems. I mean, it seemed, I think, to people who lived up there, the Great Lakes were in a limitless supply of right. clean, fresh water. Right. And you, from Detroit yeah. to, I mean, you go down the list of cities and communities that are having yeah. huge problems with the water source.
The High Plains Aquifer, the Ogallala, is almost dry.
And that's what Nebraska,
North. Yeah, it's what feeds all our grain production in North America, and it's going to be a huge problem. They get really excited every time I go up there wearing a Protect Our Aquifer shirt. They think that I'm there to protect their aquifer. But you talked about complacency in regards to eating the fish, and there's been a lot of failures in reaching out to people and helping them really understand things. We have a huge subsistence fishing community in Memphis, and we need to be looking after that community and helping them to understand the health risk. But the other complacency is, I think that because we get our water from the aquifer and everybody thought it was, you know, protected and sealed by this clay, we've been pretty abusive to our shallow groundwater and to our streams because we didn't have to drink it ourselves.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Bill. And thank you all for joining us. Join us again next week.